She opaqued the car's roof and found after images drifting across her vision. A drone hovered outside the car. It was another Earth globe, slowly spinning, and when it spoke, its voice was smooth, utterly synthetic, devoid of emotion.
This way, Ms. Manzoni.
Just a moment, she whispered. Search engine. Mirror. An image of herself crystallized in the middle of her field of vision, disconcertingly overlaying the spinning drone. She checked her dress front and back, turned on the programmable tattoos that adorned her shoulders, and tucked stray wisps of hair back where they should be. The self-image, synthesized from feeds from the car's cameras and relayed to her retinal implants, was a little grainy and prone to break up into blocky pixels if she moved too quickly. But that was a limitation of her old-fashioned sense organ implant technology she was prepared to accept. Better she suffer a little fuzziness than let some cack-handed CNS augment surgeon open up her skull. When she was ready, she dismissed the image and clambered out of the car as gracefully as she could manage in her ludicrously tight and impractical dress. Our world's campus turned out to be a carpet of neat grass quadrangles separating three-story office buildings, fat, top-heavy boxes of blue glass held up by skinny little beams of reinforced concrete. It was ugly and quaint, 1990s corporate chic. The bottom story of each building was an open car lot, in one of which her car had parked itself. She joined a river of people that flowed into the campus cafeteria, drones bobbing over their heads. The cafeteria was a showpiece, a spectacular multi-level glass cylinder built around a chunk of bona fide graffiti-laden Berlin Wall. There was, bizarrely, a stream running right through the middle of the hall, with little stone bridges spanning it. Tonight, perhaps 1,000 guests milled across the glassy floor, groups of them coalescing and dispersing, a cloud of conversation bubbling around them. Heads turned toward her, some in recognition, and some, male and female alike, with frankly lustful calculation. She picked out face after face, repeated shocks of recognition startling her. There were presidents, dictators, royalty, powers in industry and finance, and the usual scattering of celebrities from movies and music and the other arts. She didn't spot President Juarez herself, but several of her cabinet were here. Hiram had gathered quite a crowd for his latest spectacle, she conceded. Of course, she knew she wasn't here herself solely for her glittering journalistic talent or conversational skills, but for her own combination of beauty and the minor celebrity that had followed her exposure of the Wormwood discovery. But that was an angle she'd been happy to exploit herself ever since her big break. Drones floated overhead, bearing canapes and drinks. She accepted a cocktail. Some of the drones carried images from one or another of Hiram's channels. The images were mostly ignored in the excitement, even the most spectacular. Here was one, for example, bearing the image of a space rocket on the point of being launched, evidently from some dusty steppe in Asia. But she couldn't deny that the cumulative effect of all this technology was impressive, as if reinforcing Hiram's famous boast that our world's mission was to inform a planet. She gravitated toward one of the larger knots of people nearby, trying to see who or what was the center of attention. She made out a slim young man with dark hair, a walrus mustache, and round glasses, wearing a rather absurd pantomime soldier uniform of bright lime green with scarlet piping. He seemed to be holding a brass musical instrument, perhaps a euphonium. She recognized him, of course, and as soon as she did so, she lost interest, just a virtual. She began to survey the crowd around him, observing their childlike fascination with this simulacrum of a long-dead, saintly celebrity. One older man was regarding her a little too closely. His eyes were odd and unnaturally pale gray. She wondered if he had possession of the new breed of retinal implants that were rumored by operating at millimeter wavelengths, at which textiles were transparent and with a little subtle image enhancement to enable the wearer to see through clothes. He took a tentative step toward her, and orthotic aids, his invisible walking machine, whirred stiffly. Kate turned away.
He's only a virtual, I'm afraid. Our young sergeant over there, that is. Like his three companions, who are likewise scattered around the room. Even my father's grasp doesn't yet extend to resurrecting the dead. But of course you knew that.
The voice in her ear had made her jump. She turned and found herself looking into the face of a young man, perhaps
25, jet black hair, a proud Roman nose, a chin with a cleft to die for.